Mission Chats with John Crow.
This episode of Mission Chats is part two of my conversation with Celan Govender, who is the CEO of the organization OM Ships International. In this episode, which follows on from the last episode where he shared his own personal story, now he talks about OM Ships and his role and the vision that they have, and also shares an amazing story from a recent visit of one of their ships. So I hope you enjoy this. Thanks as always for listening.
As you look back, I'm sure, you know, just seeing the way the Lord's moved in your own personal world with your family, I know that's been foundational for the vision you have, for the role you have now and the ministry itself. And so I'd love for you just to share what you do now with the ship ministry and why you do it.
So currently I occupy the role of the CEO of OM Ships. I've been serving in this role for 6 years right now, and that mainly means that I give leadership and direction to us accomplishing what the vision that God has given us. And really that vision is to see the ships that we have serve as a catalyst for helping all of God's people understand that God invites them to join him on his mission. Mm-hmm. That's the heartbeat of what we, through a program of discipleship, that we hope disciples will become disciple makers through their journey with us. Yeah. That's the very heart of what we are right now. We have currently nearly 500 people serving with boat ships from 70 countries. Mm. One of the joys for me is to see, once people understand that it is God that invites them to join him, that you don't have to be specifically called, highly trained, a subset of a little group of people that is going to do the work of the many, their eyes open and light up. Mm. And they realize that God has already put something in me, and it's God that invites me to join him. And that is such a freeing thought for many. And they move toward that with great passion and desire to join God. And that's what gives me great joy all over the world, is to see people realize that it is not just Celan, the missionary, that is called. Right. I am called to join God in what he is doing. Yep. And not only am I called, he invites me daily to be a part of what he is doing. So that's in a nutshell what I'm responsible, giving executive leadership, direction, vision to a group of global leaders to help us achieve this desire for us to see a million people praying persistently for communities today that don't have the experience, that have not experienced what I've experienced in this person of Jesus.
Right.
We want to work with churches and mobilize a million churches. When we talk of mobilization, we're simply saying, how do we move people who know and love Jesus and point them in the direction of whole societies that yet don't know and love Jesus? Right.
Yeah.
That's in essence really what we're doing in trying to mobilize churches and partnership. I believe fundamentally that the vision God has given us would never be achieved just by OM Ships. Mm-hmm. It is for the global body of Christ, that it is all of us getting involved, because it's about the kingdom and what God is doing in his work.
Oh, fantastic. And I know, obviously, I keep up with OM Ships news, and probably one of the biggest things in recent years is the launch of the second ship, Doulos Hope.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear a little bit of the background of that. Why has OM launched the second ship? What's the vision there? Tell us a bit about that.
You know, part of the vision for OM is that we recognize that we have now lived in a world where communication has never been easier. I mean, basically, I can sit on my Instagram or any social media and say things and the world can comment.
Right.
And I can reach the world. And we look at travel. I mean, I was just talking to you about your parents coming from all the way to Australia within really 24 hours, 36 hours, depending on what flights you take. You can be anywhere in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So travel has never been more easier or straightforward. Communication really enables so many things. Travel. But we also have a situation where the church in its history since its inception has never been as big as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
When we take the church in the South, in Asia, Africa, Latin America, North America, Eastern Europe, the church is the biggest it has ever been in its history.
Yeah.
And so you have a large church, you have the ease of communication, you have the straightforwardness of travel.
Yeah.
And yet still nearly 40% of the world's population would not have heard of who Jesus is today. 3 billion people. And that number gets added to every day, about 50, 60,000. That's simply through birth rates. By simply doing what we're doing, we're going to go backwards.
Right.
So I think that's, for me, unacceptable, especially when I understand, again, who Jesus is and his love for us and pursuing this man called Jesus and what he offers. I think of all societies today that have not had the opportunity to experience that and say it's unacceptable, because I know what I experienced from my life and family, my lived reality, my lived experiences. Jesus matters. Can make the difference. And so as we thought about this, we said, one ship, we have to look at where in the world we get repeated invitations. And by the time we come back to a country or region or a port to visit, it could be anywhere between 7, 10, 15 years. So as we considered it, we've been praying that if we want to see all these churches mobilize, as prayer become more central and partnership take place to create this movement of God's people, we need multiple vessels. And we were praying for it. Of course, never did we ever imagine that COVID would happen.
Right.
And two of the biggest industries that were disrupted is shipping and air travel. Yep. It's the biggest challenge. That's why we had this whole logistical challenge of supply chain management, etc. Huge crisis. And everyone was talking about, oh, we don't know how long this is going. And yet there was a vision burning in our heart that God had given us. I remember sitting with the leaders and praying. I said, this can't be. This can't be all. We can't stop, because God's mission does not stop.
Yeah.
The world may have stopped. And so we started to pray and we started to share about our desire to see Asia have some sort of presence of an OM ship, because 70% of 3 billion people live within the context of Asia. And we felt, well, let's pray, let's talk. And God led us to a few people here in Europe as we shared the vision, that hugely got behind it financially and gave us the energy that we needed. Of course, what was unknown to us is that vessels became much cheaper during COVID, because they were not plying their trade normally.
Yeah.
And the Lord provided a smaller ship. We wanted a smaller ship to be agile enough to take us to places where some of our larger ships did not have access. Shallower depth waters, communities, societies that were around the Mekong and other Asian ports. And we felt this is what we wanted, to be a bit more agile. And we managed to get the Taipan. In that time, it was a third of the price that we would normally get her for. And God, in his grace and mercy, arranged the right people at the right time, that when most companies were talking about downsizing, God gave us another ship and we expanded at that time.
Yeah.
We managed to get 70% of the money beforehand, never before seen as well. Right. And the Lord provided the rest of the money. Within a year, we purchased the ship, refurbished her, and had her sailing and focusing on setting her up. She's got about 110 people currently living on board. And she will focus primarily in East Asia, South Asia, heading towards Arabian Peninsula as well, where she'll give great focus to supporting and contributing to the national work of the church in these regions and countries, etc. So a remarkable story of how God gave us the ship. And it was certainly no intellect strategy. We simply, it was God's favor and a Kairos moment, I would put it down to.
So exciting. And Sion, you shared your own story, which is definitely a God story. You've given this overview of the ship ministry and your role in that, many God stories. And I want to give you an opportunity, maybe one or two specific God stories from the ministry side of the ships and what you've seen maybe in recent years that you'd share for the encouragement of those listening, that God still is clearly at work in this world.
Absolutely. God is at work in the world. The challenge is that we don't often see what he is doing. Yeah. Occasionally, we get to the privilege of seeing glimpses, and it inspires us. And one of the recent stories that I can share of how God enabled a ship to go to Iraq for me was quite remarkable. A country that I didn't even know had a port, to be honest. I've been involved in the ship work for many, many years and been to the Arabian Peninsula region many times. But as we were visiting MENA last year, the Middle East, North Africa region, news about the ship spread through the Arab world in Arabic. They went through the news channels, the bookshop was coming, and this ship with all these young people were traveling around and meeting people and welcoming people on board. And we had a remarkable invitation to visit Basra at that time. And we considered it and did all of the preparations, but the government, they came and sent a group to look at who we were and what we were doing. and, you know, looked at the books we had and said they really felt that they wanted the ship to visit Basra as part of the city's focus as well. And so we planned. And of course, one of the challenges is if you look at where geographically where Basra is, it is up a river, the Shatt al-Arab, that goes up to Iraq and Basra from Kuwait. You go from the ocean into the river, and it's about an 8 to 10 hour sail up the river to come to Basra. So technically, a lot of work needed to be done in actually sailing the ship, because I don't think they've received a ship that large as the Logos Hope before that sailed that far up the river. And we needed to make sure that the ship was balanced, it was light enough, and that it was during the summertime, Ramadan, the fasting month, and the winds would blow from the north to the south, blowing water from the river into the ocean and then decreasing the depth of the river. And so we had sailed, but the captain was quite concerned about the sandbar. There are these sandbars that you have to sail over.
Mm.
And if it's not carefully managed, you could run aground.
Right.
And the captain looked at all the charts and he looked at the depth of the ship, the draft, and he says, well, it looks like we only got 10 centimeters. I'm not comfortable taking the ship there. And of course, there was a deep sense that this invitation was something we needed to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And God was leading us to visit this nation that had gone through so much in their history. And so we managed to rally prayer around and engage the captain with the pilots there. The pilots are these local people that understand the waters, navigation in and out of the port. And they talked, and the captain then said, okay, I have decided we'll give it one opportunity to sail towards it. If I'm uncomfortable with it, if the winds are too strong, we will abandon it and we'll have to turn around and visit another port on our schedule. And so I said, sure, we'll take it. We prayed. And as the captain was sailing, the pilots got on board, and an hour before they were to arrive at this point where they get on board, the captain gets a call on his radio to say, can you come a bit earlier to this point?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, why? And the pilot says, the winds has changed direction.
Wow.
So I didn't think much of it, to be honest. I said, well, winds change direction, right? It's not an uncommon thing in my estimation. And so we managed to sail, and we noticed that it had rained in Basra. Again, I didn't think anything about it, and that helped the ship get in. I flew into Baghdad, spent a few days there with the team, and I sat with this pilot that brought the ship in. And I asked him, I said, Captain Hassan, help me understand. I heard the captain say that the wind changed direction, the navigation into the port must have been tricky. It's common. How many times does the wind does this, and how reliable is the information that you have?
Right.
He looks at me and he says, Mr. Seelan, the wind never changes direction this time of the year.
Hmm.
It never changes direction. It's the first time in my 25-year experience that I've seen the wind change direction. And of course, that I understood then the gravity of what God had done in enabling the ship to come there. Here was someone experienced. This is his core role, core job, bringing ships in and out.
Yep.
For 25 years, he says the wind never changes direction. The rain that came that night before, I sat with some friends there that had been living in that region for 19 years. They said to me that the day your ship arrived here, it had rained in Baghdad that I've never seen in 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
It does not rain in Baghdad, they said to me. And then it rained. And of course, that helps with the rising of the river. 60 centimeter clearance is what we had from the keel of the ship to the sandbar to go in. And one of the most beautiful things I think that took place is that we had over 90,000 Iraqis visit the ship and experienced this community of people from around the world that loved God and wanted to demonstrate who God was to those that visited. And this became a huge impact. Up to today, I get contact and text from people that had visited the ship.
Yeah.
One saying, it was the most impactful time in my life. Thank you so much for coming to love us. One of my close friends says that he had got confirmation again and again that people said they felt as though God was hugging them through the ship visit.
Mm.
And so when I think about this, we couldn't do many things we had wanted to, but just the presence of God's people in a place that is going through tremendous challenges, and the prayer of the global body of Christ around the world has created a sense where Iraqis have got to glimpse of what a community of Jesus followers looks like. And they were attracted to that in some way or form.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I heard you share that story a few months ago, and it's so great to hear how God's moving. And I think, you know, that kind of, I'm sure, has some spiritual application too, just the change of winds. And I think, you know, as we move forward in history, I think the wind has changed a little bit with regards to who's getting involved in, you know, global missions.
As always, thank you so much for your interest in Mission Chats and for taking the time to listen to this episode. Tune back in next time to hear a few final thoughts from Celan. And as always, I'd love for you to share this with like-minded friends.
Find us online at missionchats.com.